Hey, you know what? I love just kind of observing when I come to a church, and man, I like what I see here. Yeah. You guys are so friendly, and I always love the worship. Terry, I bet you were in heaven today, and I love, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Wow. You guys have some good things going on here. And I am so thankful. And thankful for my brother. And you know, we just moved from Colorado to Oregon. And brother was willing to take some vacation time and come out and help me drive out. And I don't know what I would have done without him. He's my hero. And they think I can't drive. I don't get it. And I just bought a motorcycle, and they think that's the most horrible thing in the world. Amen. I love it. You know, one thing I was a little... Karen Paddock, where are you? Karen, you busted my bubble today. She had a friend that hadn't met me before, and she's introduced me, and her friend says, "So you're Kevin's brother?" And you know how I like to joke and say, "Oh yeah, I'm Kevin's younger brother and better looking brother." And Karen says, "Well, I don't know about that, but I know you're taller and louder." What? Larry? Smack her for me. And there's a sweet couple I met that's celebrating 60 years. Where are you? Let's give them a hand. 60 years. I can't imagine being married for 60 years. Yikes. Oh, Jared, no, that didn't come out right. Hey, we're going to be 54 this August, so it gets better, doesn't it? Better and better. It's amazing. So awesome. Well, thanks for letting me preach this morning. You know, it's been a while. So I went to Rocky. We were there 7.5 years, and the young guys were preaching, and I would do care ministry and lead the prayer team and so forth, and I would preach every once in a while for guys that were on vacation elsewhere, but I thank you. I'm really looking forward to this today. And Kevin asked me to talk a little bit about evangelism, just telling people about Jesus, which I love to do. And he asked me to talk about friendship evangelism, relational evangelism, and confrontational evangelism, and serving evangelism. So we'll kind of work on those together. And I've got a couple of scriptures I want to begin with that kind of just paints the picture for what we're talking about. The first one is in John, the 4th chapter. Remember the story of the woman at the well? Jesus is in Judea, and he wants to get up here to Galilee. Guess what's in between? Samaria. Jews did not like Samaritans. They hated Samaritans. They considered them half-breeds. They wanted nothing to do with them. So what they would do, if they were in Judea, they would come up to the border of Samaria, and they'd go way around so that they wouldn't have to interact with these half-breeds, these heathens, these pagans. But Jesus, I love Jesus, don't you? Jesus says, "I must go through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria." Why? There was going to be a woman that he would meet at the well in the noonday heat, because she was a prostitute and the women didn't want to have anything to do with her. But Jesus I've got to go through Samaria because there is going to be a divine encounter with this woman that needs to be saved. Would you write that word down? Either in your memory or in your notes, divine encounter. Folks, Jesus said, I must go. And when he met her, he started a conversation, which was a no-no. Jews do not talk to Samaritans. Men did not talk to women. And especially, you didn't meet a gal that was a prostitute. But Jesus breaks down the barriers, begins the conversation, piques her interest. And long story short, she recognizes him as the Messiah and believes in Jesus, and she runs back into town and tells everybody, and she brings the whole town out. You know what was interesting? The disciples had been in that town. Guys that had walked and talked with Jesus for years, they go into that town and they never even mention the fact that Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, is right outside your town at the well. Come with us. Nope. It took a gal that met Jesus face to face and was on fire, this new saved person. And she, you never know when you lead somebody to Christ what they're going to do and how they're going to be able to influence others for Jesus. But the big point I want to get out of this scripture is divine encounters. And you know what? Every day we ought to pray for divine encounters. Jesus, we don't naturally do this. I mean, we have to get so close to Jesus and spend time with him and the Spirit moving to where we begin to think, all right, today, who am I going to meet today, Jesus? Who's going to be the divine encounter today? Would you pray that prayer with me in the future here? Divine encounters. The second scripture that's interesting is Acts chapter 8. Philip is in Samaria. He is preaching revival. There are all kinds of people coming to Christ. It is revival fires. And it says, quote, in Acts 8, there was joy in the whole city because of what was happening. Well, then the Spirit speaks to Philip and says, I want you to go down to the desert road toward Gaza. And I'm sure Philip thought, what? God, you got to be kidding. I mean, this is where it's happening. Revival is right here. People are getting saved. The desert, there's nobody in the desert. But the Spirit says, Philip, go. And he went, and there was a divine encounter waiting. There was going to be a guy in a chariot coming from Jerusalem reading scripture, and he's not understanding what he's reading, and the Spirit says, go near the chariot. And pretty soon, Philip comes alongside him and says, do you understand? Or no, he says, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm reading. Do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't. How can I unless somebody teaches me? And long story short, Philip gets in, and it says he began at that scripture and preached to him Jesus. Another divine encounter. But the thing I want you to get out of this scripture is the Holy Spirit leading. Okay? Philip, you get up, you go to the desert road. The Spirit spoke in his mind, in his heart. Go to the desert. Go near this chariot. Folks, if we will look for and pray for divine encounters and ask the Spirit to lead us and guide us, and if we move in Holy Spirit power, look out. There is no telling what God is going to do with us. And then the third scripture I want to mention that I love is Luke 8. And I won't go into the story. Remember the story of Legion, the guy that he was demon-possessed, And Jesus meets him and asks, what is your name? And the demon says, we are Legion. My name's Legion because we are many. And this guy was a wild man. Everybody was afraid of him. But Jesus cast out the demons. Remember, they go into the pigs, and the pigs go over the cliff. And the guys that were taking care of the pigs ran into town, told the whole town, and here's another town that comes out. Only they were scared to death, and they were angry that they lost a lot of money. But the thing I want you to get here is that they came out, and they saw this guy clothed and in his right mind. Jesus had worked a miracle in his life. And later, when the townspeople said, I want you to get out, would you please leave? And so Jesus left. And as he was leaving, you remember what the guy that was healed did? He ran to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be a disciple. I want to walk with you. And you remember what Jesus said? You would think Jesus would say, all right, come on. He didn't. He said, no. Go home. Go back to your family. And you tell your family and everyone else the great things that God has done for you. Share your story. Write that down. First, divine encounters. Pray for them. Second, Holy Spirit power. We need the Spirit to lead us and guide us. And then tell your story. Everybody has a story. And I love to ask people that I don't know, that I'm getting to know, that I just sit down with, first thing I'll ask them is, tell me your story. And then I know as they begin, the Holy Spirit's going to take over, and it's going to be fun to see what the Spirit does with our conversation. Now, let me share with you a couple of examples from my life, how this is, these scriptures, this has played out in my life. Kevin's probably told you a little bit about our neighbor, Beth. Beth's amazing. And she was not amazing before she came to Christ. She was raised by atheists. She was an atheist. She had this look, she was mad at the world, frown on her face. In fact, we have taken pictures of before she was saved and after she was saved. You cannot believe the difference. It's like she received a facelift. But Beth, she has this ranch. She owns about 5 horses, borders 20 horses. And at one time, when I first met her, she had miniature bull, miniature cows, miniature ponies that were trick ponies. She would get the ponies in the arena and have these poles out, and they would jump over the poles. She would have a small step ladder, and they would climb our front paws up the ladder and shake your hand. She would have colored triangles and throw them out and say, go get the yellow one. Stomp on the yellow one. She's amazing. But first time I met her was through the grandkids. Grandkids were little, and I saw this, and I thought, we need to get the grandkids over to see this. And that began the friendship evangelism, slowly relational evangelism. She eventually invited me to, she was living with a guy, not married, and Fred was a big biker, and he'd always, toward Halloween, have this big bonfire and invite all of these bikers and cowboys. And Beth said, Tom, why don't you come? And now there's going to be a lot of language and a lot of drinking and da-da-da. But I went and just enjoyed hanging out and visiting with some of the guys and gals. And that was a start, building relationships. One day, I love this, we had a serve day and at our church. And we were to go out into the community and serve and bless somebody through service. So I missed it, the day that we all did that. I missed it, but I came home and I said, I want to get in on serve day, so I'm going to do a makeup thing. So I called Beth and I said, hey, our church is having a serve day, want to serve. Kent, could I come over and help you with anything? I figured she'd have me mucking stalls, you know, but she didn't. She said, Tom, you can help me. I've got these weeds in my pasture. And those weeds, folks, were about this high. And if you can picture large carrots, about three or four in a bundle, that's what the roots were like. And she wanted me to dig up the roots of those weeds. And so we started. It was hot like this. It was summertime. So we got up early, six or so, and started digging weeds. And she says, if you would have started saying something about church, I was going to throw you over the fence. She is a black belt. She could probably do it. But anyway, we're digging weeds, and all of a sudden she starts asking questions. And her first question, she had gone to a Catholic school for a year and had a real negative experience. And her question was, what's the difference between Catholicism and Christianity? So that got us talking. And I mentioned some things about, well, the Bible says this. And she said, the Bible? I said, yeah. And so the conversation, the Spirit leading, the conversation went to, why don't you start reading the Scriptures, the Bible? Start with Matthew. And when you finish Matthew, go to Mark and then Luke and John and just hang out with Jesus. Why don't you come over to our house? And every Monday, from 10:30 to noon, and many times more time, building the friendship. And I asked her, you read and sit down at a table as you read and have a notebook and start at, and ask any questions that you have, and then we'll get together and talk about the questions. I had no idea what she was going to do. Folks, she took this seriously, and she started reading in Matthew. But what she would do on her ranch, she would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, do her chores, go in and start reading. At noon, she'd go back out, do her chores, feed the horses, go back in and read. It was crazy. I have never in my life seen anything quite like Beth Pelosa. Reading the Scriptures and allowing the Scriptures to speak. And the questions, the first day we met together, she had read through Matthew 10 or so, or 12, and I was expecting maybe one chapter, possibly. And she question after question, and they were hard questions. And so, and it was funny, she had a potty mouth. Whoa. And she would say, what in the blankety blank does this mean? You know? And Terry and I, we would just smile and we'd answer her questions. So it was interesting that the Word began to change her life. And one day she came in and she had read through Matthew and through the Gospels. She had read some in Ephesians 4 where it talks about don't let any unwholesome speech come out of your mouth. She came in saying, I'm not supposed to talk like this, am I? No. And you're not, Beth. And her language began to change. She came in one day saying, I'm not supposed to be living with Fred, not married, am I? No, Beth, you're not. When he and the bikers went up to, what's the motorcycle? Sturgis. When they went up to Sturgis, she moved back into her house next door. She had left her house, moved in with Fred next door, and now she's moving back. And wow, it's fun to watch her journey coming to Christ. You know, before she was saved, I asked her to come to of our vacation Bible school. We call it Epic Week. and it's Vacation Bible School on steroids with all the water features, and just it was just fabulous. So Beth, I asked Beth to come and help me with fourth grade kids. We're sitting one day at lunch in a circle with our paper bags and eating, and I say to the kids, let's pray. We need to pray for Beth because she's on this journey to get to know Jesus, and she's not sure that she believes in Jesus yet. And so I asked our youngest grandson, who was in fourth grade at the time, to pray for Beth. He prayed the most beautiful prayer, and by the end, Beth is bawling, and I'm crying, and Luke's going, "What in the world's wrong with you guys?" You know. But when Beth came to Christ and wanted to be baptized, guess who she wanted to be there to pray before she went to the water? Luke. So beautiful. And this woman was kind of like the woman at the well. I mean, she had been molested as a kid. Atheistic parents. She left home when she was young. I mean, hardcore, negative, cynical. And Jesus changed her life. And she has brought over probably 35, 40 people to Christ in 3.5 years. Yeah. You never know from one divine encounter that you have what God is going to do with that person that gets on fire and gets saved and goes after other people. Friendship evangelism. She uses her horses. She will have God, the Spirit leads people to her grandmas and moms who have gone through the same thing, who have kids that come, and she does a program where she will teach writing if the kids will do her program and read scripture and come ready to talk about scripture. She has led more kids and more grandmas and moms to the Lord than I can say. It's awesome. You can do that too. If you pray for divine encounters, if you will rely on the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, and if you will take the step and you will step out in faith, there's no telling what God will do through you. It's not you. It is the Spirit. And Kevin wanted me to talk just a little bit about controversial, confrontational. This could be either evangelism. Beth went with me on a mission trip to Kenya. And she's on fire, and I'm loving the Lord, and we want to go evangelizing during the day, talking to people about Jesus, and they let us do that, but they took people with us, and we would go into some of the homes. We were working with kids from the school, about 800 kids. We'd help build the school, and so we'd go into the homes and meet the parents, and we led an old shoe cobbler to the Lord, and the wonderful thing was that my son and two granddaughters came, and so we had three generations on this mission trip, and my granddaughters were with me when we were in the home and led this old guy to Christ. It was amazing. But there was this group called the Boda Bodas. Have you ever heard of the Boda Bodas? Oh my. They look like a motorcycle gang. But they're really, and they look mean and scary. In fact, people were afraid of them. And they were really taxis. They just all gathered at the same place waiting for somebody to say, "Hey, I need a ride across town." And they would pay and then get a ride from one of the guys on the motorcycle. The Boda Bodas look scary. And Beth and I we felt like the Spirit was saying, you guys need to go and witness to them. Yikes. So we start over there. I have no idea what I'm going, how are you going to start a conversation with these guys and turn the conversation around to talk about Jesus? Well, I started over there, and this was not my idea. I know it was the Spirit. I just walked over toward them, and I go, like that. All eyes were on me. And the guy that was kind of the leader of the bunch, probably the meanest looking guy, really, he goes, do you ride? I said, yeah, I've ridden all my life. He takes his keys to his motorcycle, pitches them to me, and says, here you go. And he gets off his bike. So I get on his bike, and I start it and rev it up, and I'm not going to ride it out on the road because they drive crazy there, crazier than I do. But all I did was let the Spirit lead, and the conversation was on. Pretty soon they're saying, who are you anyway? Who are you guys, and where did you come from? What are you doing here? Oh, I'm glad you asked. We're here to talk to these kids and work with these kids and share Jesus with them. Are you guys familiar with Jesus? Folks, that started a conversation that lasted a long time, and we ended up as a group, arm in arm, shoulder, arm over shoulder, in a circle, praying together. Oh, you never know how God is going to use you. And you know, as far as confrontational evangelism, a couple of things, be nice. Be nice. God loves these guys just like he loves us. And be positive. Look for the good. And remember, they are God's kids in the making. And don't argue. Man, I used to be an expert at knowing the Bible and beating the Bible over the heads of people and just arguing to the death. And a lot of times I would win the conflict, but lose the person. Be nice. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Yes, you want to give truth, but you lead with grace. And you love them. If they're not interested at the time, that is okay. You just love them and wait on the Spirit. Wait for another opportunity. But we never give up. We may leave for a time to go to greener pastures and witness to others, but we never, especially family, we never give up, we never argue, we never, grace and love, grace and truth. And folks, when this all comes together in our lives, when we know the Spirit is working and setting up these divine encounters, there comes a peace and a boldness that is just amazing, and it takes away all fear. And I can't do this. I can't talk to the person about Jesus. I don't know what to say, and I don't want to make a mistake. And there is a verse in Matthew 10 when Jesus sent out the disciples that says, when you go, don't you worry about what you're going to say, because when the time comes, the Spirit is going to give you exactly what you need to say. Wow! Doesn't get any better than that. Let's go do it. Let's be Beths. Or let's find some Beths who are open and ready. And I had no idea that this lady was at her wit's end and was contemplating suicide. No idea. When I made that phone call, I had no idea where she was at emotionally and spiritually. But God did. The Spirit did. and orchestrated the phone call. I could have called a lot of different people, but Beth was one. Who's your one? Go after your one and share the testimony. We need to hear the God stories, and it reminds us that God is working in our midst. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time, and I love this church, and love Kevin and Cindy. Lord, we hope we can be a blessing here, but they are certainly a blessing to us. And we love you, and we praise you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.